This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome on in this Thursday, May the 8th edition of Sports Talk. Kendall, 6 to 8 o'clock tonight. Steve Geller, Charlie Long with you. I'm going to be talking to Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak after the first break. He was in attendance for the ceremonies honoring Cam Jordan Day. And Charlie, was it a coincidence that we also got a new Pope name today on the same day? One of the greatest Saints players of all time gets honored.
There you go. It's just like, where are you going with this? Like, okay, no, I got it now. Yeah, no, Cam's fantastic, man. On top of being a Hall of Famer on the field, he's a Hall of Famer off the field. I really, you know, I didn't get to mention this with Mike. I really wish that he would have won the Walter Payton Man of the Year this past year.
Yeah.
With it being in New Orleans, it felt like a great setup and that he was going to be introduced, and it just didn't happen. But he's very deserving of it almost every single year for all the charitable work he does in New Orleans.
He's just the kind of player every team would want. Everything from the talent to the personality, the presence in the locker room, what he's doing in the community, how he interacts with the fans, just overall a fantastic pick that the Saints made in 2011 in the first round. Same year they drafted Mark Ingram as well. Talking about Cam Jordan Day at City Hall, the defensive end of the Black and Gold got to meet with the media a little bit afterwards. The whole ceremonies happened, and we've got that audio for you. Want to hear what Cam Jordan had to say on his special day?
I'm sort of nervous where my son's going to take this. He's like, Dad, we got a day. I said, no, it's not true. But it's amazing for them to be able to remember it. When my dad retired, I think I was 4. My youngest is 4, you know? So my kids have been able to jog on the field, go to the locker room, actually, like, you know, catch passes from Michael Thomas, you know, Drew Brees. They got real legends of the game, AK, Mark Ingram. Like, they have real imprints, and that's huge for me. I love being able to look out and know that my kids are from New Orleans, and they know exactly where they're going. Like, we came downtown, he's like, we're going to work? I was like, wait, this is not work, bro. This is not normal. Also, we're going to City Council today, not the New Orleans Superdome. But it's just a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to have a day named, to have a day, what is it, proclamated? By the way, it's a Cam Jordan Day. The ability to be acknowledged beyond just football. It took a lot of work, hard work and effort to get to the league. It took a lot of hard work and effort to stay in the league. But it's been nothing but a labor of love for me to be in the community.
You obviously had a choice to make this offseason about
staying
here.
Did I? When you see the love you get from New Orleans, is there a point in leaving? When you say, yes, we've had struggling times on the football field, but we still show so much promise, whether that's the beginning of last season where there's so much promise to be shown. You say, if only we were just healthy. You look at the roster, and I think we got better this draft. I always hate to see offensive linemen picked in the first round, and yet I understand why. You know, we have the ability. First rounders across the board for the offensive line. You have, I think it's a great addition at linebacker later on. We picked up a D-tackle. We picked up an edge rusher with a high ceiling. And that's what I love. I love the potential of the season. And that's what we're going to work for.
Cam, you spend nearly every off day in the community. You don't have to do that. But why have you chosen to do that over your career?
Man, guys don't have to take care of their body, but you see them, you know, go through prehab. Guys don't have to play football, and yet we fight our way in there. It's become part of routine to be routinely inspired. When you go into these schools and you talk to these teachers who've been Saints fans since they were babies, you talk to the little babies in the classroom, you know, the middle school kids, the high school kids, and they show so much reverence towards the Saints, towards football, towards, you know, being able to say, hey, you went to my brother's school when he was a kid. You know, like, and now that you've been here a decade, I've been here a decade plus, you see these effects, these ramifications. I remember coming into the city office on numerous occasions. It's just, at this point, it's just a part of me.
How important is it for you to show not only your kids, but kids across the city, how important it is to give back?
I mean, you sort of emulate what you see. If you see somebody who's always giving back, you sort of want to give that. That's exactly where my servitude came from. By watching my parents, myself, you know, being able to see my mother feed any and everybody who came to our house, watch my dad go out of the community, do the things that he did, it becomes ingratiated into who you are. So for me, the moment I came to New Orleans, I was trying to figure out how best can I help serve our community, whether that's backpack drives, whether that's, you know, the school supplies drives, breaking down a digital divide, partnering up with people like Crescent City Corps and the NOPD. It goes on and on about how much more can I give back to the city, because the city's given me so much.
I just have one more question. You are working out today before you came here. Are you excited about what's going on, new coaching staff? Do you feel like
I'm always working out. Look, even on a day where you're going to come in and I'm missing a team workout, I got to get my work in. I'm going a little bit farther than I did any time before, maybe because it's Cam Jordan Day. I'm going a little bit harder because I know that there's not 15 years of football left for me. I know that in my mind we have potential. You know, we drafted another tight end. We extended Juwan Johnson. We got Foster Moreau. I think that's a solid tight end core. Regardless if Taysom is able to come back healthy, whatever his status is, I think, you know, with the additions of Tyler Shuck, you see what we did with Spencer, what Spencer Rattler was able to do in his first year. So now he's actually got some experience behind him and probably a healthy O-line, which usually helps a quarterback. I'm excited to see where this goes, albeit, you know, whatever Derek Carr's status is, we'll learn as we go on. But I think that we've built out a room where we have potential for our future regardless. I think if you look at the D-line room, and it's always going to start with the D-line for me, they extended Chase Young, Carl Granderson comes back. We drafted a UT kid that pretty much has the same stats as a first rounder from 2 years ago that's pretty excellent in my book, in Brian Bazee. 6'5", 311. I think what is Brian Bazee? 6'5", 308. So, you know, that's going to do, hopefully does wonders for our defensive line. We bring in a guy like Devon Godchild as a solidified, proven nose tackle. I think you got Colin Saunders. I mean, the depth there is just—it's pretty stupendous. I'm excited to where our D line is going to go.
The eternal optimist, Cam Jordan, right there, getting honored with Cam Jordan Day. And yeah, we were kind of talking about a little off mic, Charlie. It's like, is this going to be an annual occurrence for Cam? Is May 8th now permanently Cam Jordan Day in New Orleans?
I hope so. Cam deserves it. I mean, once again, on top of being a Hall of Fame player, he's a Hall of Fame person. And just listening to him still glow about 15 years after he was drafted, being with the Saints and the quote-unquote labor of love it is to be in the community and doing all he can and charitable work. Just a fantastic guy. Root for nothing but his success.
When he got drafted and you hear that post, you know, coming off the podium interview with the Westwood One people, I knew right away this city was getting a character, was very animated, excited to just get down here and be a part of the black and gold. And he mentioned it too, where he got, you know, what drives him to be this such a giving factor in the community and wanting to serve with these schools and the charities, and talked about how much his dad and his mother influenced him growing up. And that's obviously a huge part of the upbringing that Cam had. And kudos to Cam's parents for raising such a good egg there and just becoming just the man and the player that he is for the city. Really great stuff for Cam Jordan. And, eventually looking forward to him getting into the NFL Hall of Fame.
He's going to be enshrined, almost certainly, Steve. So, legendary player for the black and gold. It's crazy to think, though, 15 years, when you talked about, like, I don't have another 15 years left in me type of thing on the football field. It's like, wow, time flies. But Yeah, I mean, we can't say enough good things about Cam Jordan. This is very well deserved. We'll ask Jeff here in a little bit before we, you know, after we get out of the break, if this is actually an annual thing, because I am kind of curious now.
Yeah, get some more details from him.
Is it just May 8th, 2025 is enshrined as Cam Jordan Day? Or is May 8th now for the rest of the future a Cam Jordan Day, special Cam Jordan Day in New Orleans? I think regardless, it's well deserved.
Let's take a break. When we get back, we'll check in with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. He was on the scene today. We'll get the whole layout from him on what transpired and also get a little thoughts as we have rookie mini camp kicking off here this weekend. Looking forward to seeing all the newbies in black and gold in action. We'll take a break. Be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on back into Sports Talk. We are chatting with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak now joining us. Also, our WWL digital content producer was out at Cam Jordan Day at City Council. Jeff, how was your day this morning and just the general scene out there? How'd it go?
My question is, how are we going to celebrate Cam Jordan Day every year? Is there going to be some sort of parade? Are we going to, we got to come up with a plan for next Cam Jordan Day. We got 364 days.
Well, that
to
was
come
actually
up with next Cam Jordan Day.
Jeff, that was actually one of our questions Charlie and I were curious about. Is this just a one-time thing, or is now May 8th officially in New Orleans just Cam Jordan Day?
I believe that's how it works. I think it's just every May 8th is Cam Jordan Day. You know, we all do the levels thing and then we all go about our day. But no, it was cool. You know, I think that one of the things that makes Cam Jordan so kind of uniquely a pillar of the New Orleans Saints is not just what he's done on the field. And we know about what he's done on the field. It's well documented. You know, he's the franchise leader in sacks. He's been here forever. He's got all those sacks against Matt Ryan. That's something Gail Benson mentioned specifically today. It was, you know, if you want to be like remembered in Saints lore, you have to do something specific to the Falcons to make them sad, and that Cam has done that as well as anybody. But it's his impact in the community. It's going to all these schools. It's you know, impacting the lives of the children of the city of New Orleans, and he's done that for more than a decade at this point. He actually has a scholarship program that is actually going into effect this year for the first time for kids who they don't even know who they are yet. It hasn't even been announced, but they have been chosen, are going to, you know, have full rides to whatever Louisiana school they want to go to. And that's completely through his foundation. He actually was reading the essays of the final 20 to kind of pick the four that were going to get this award. And it's just kind of a cool thing. And it's something that he really prioritizes. And, you know, you don't get this type of appreciation, this type of just day about you, unless you go above and beyond. You know, he's been nominated for the Walt Payton Man of the Year Award multiple times. He hasn't won it. I don't know if there's anything else he could do to win it, but, you know, this is kind of one of those things that doesn't happen by accident. You earn this over the course of a long, long time and a lot of dedication. So he deserves a lot of credit, and that's what today was about, and it was cool to see that happen.
I know Gail Benson was out in attendance today. Who was else was among the who's who, I guess, of, quote, celebrities in attendance?
I don't know if celebrities would be the word. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser was there. You know, a lot of the council members spoke. Craig Robertson was there. Fred McAfee was there. Obviously, all the kind of the Saints odds and ends that you would see at all these events. But it was, you know, Freddie King was the council member who organized it. It was like, yeah, usually we don't have when we have a standing room only crowd at a city council meeting, it means something terrible has happened. So it's kind of nice to see the whole room kind of filled for a good reason. You know, the Ed Nickar marching band was there. There was a lot of appreciation kind of spread around. So it was just a cool day. It was a nice kind of offbeat, happy Saints topic to talk about for a day. And now we can go back to being, you know, angry sports fans. that thing we're so good at doing.
I know Cam mentioned, you know, his kids, you know, being around, a fun moment for them. And just reflecting on his youngest right now is 4 years old, and he kind of remembers, I guess, his dad's playing days when he was that age.
Well, I think he said he doesn't really remember his dad's playing days because he was so young, and it's cool for him that his kids are old enough
that can appreciate it. I got you.
Appreciate what's going on now, and you know how this has gone, and what it's meant to him and the family and the city. You know, he kind of joked like his kids are developing Cajun accents because they were born here. They're locals, you know, and I appreciate that too. Cause I've talked to Mike Haas about this, and he said, you could live here for 40 years. I didn't go to high school here. So I don't have anywhere to say like, I'm a local. Cause they say, why'd you go to high school? And, you won't know the name. So it doesn't count. Right. Well, Cam's kids are New Orleanians and they're going to be New Orleanians. And that's kind of what he said is it means a lot to him that his family is going to be from here. Right. Yeah, you know, he was born in Minnesota where his dad was a football player, grew up in Arizona. Like he didn't grow up here, but he became a part of the community because he wants to be. And that's kind of what it all comes down to. And he's setting an example for his kids the same way his parents set an example for him and all these children. You know, I think last year he averaged at about 300 school visits since he first got here, he estimated, and that sounds about right. You know, every Tuesday they have one off day and he spends it going to schools. I've pointed out in the past, like, you know, a Monday night football game in Kansas City, terrible, terrible game. It was a horrible result. Everyone had a bad time. They come back and get home at like 3 a.m. or something like that. He's out of school the following morning at like 8 a.m. Like he doesn't even take those days off. Like it's such a part of his DNA. And that's, you know, there was representatives from Ed Nickar. There was representatives from several schools who, you know, he's gone to several times. He has his repeat visits to certain places a little more often than others. And, you know, there was also an event that I wasn't even aware of that they brought out a lot of the students at the Saints facility last year. And, you know, Mark Ingram actually narrated a video kind of highlighting some of the things that Cam has done and some of the events. And, you know, it was just kind of cool to see all that laid out and you really kind of see the scope of it at an event like that.
On the line with us, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak on WWL. And we got, you know, rookie minicamp this weekend. Definitely looking forward to seeing the newbies in action out there in black and gold. Are there any things on your checklist, I guess, that you want to see in action? I know on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, we mentioned about Kelvin Banks Jr., the rookie offensive tackle, kind of seeing where he lines up because we know he's a versatile piece that has, you know, tackle guard possibilities.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the bigger things that we'll see is this is what he is now. But if they put him at guard and get a look at him at guard during this camp, that'll be pretty telling that, hey, they're going to get a long look at Kelvin Banks at guard. If they put him at right tackle, then, hey, that's a pretty good indicator that maybe they're considering leaving Taliese Fuaga at left tackle, putting Trevor Penning to left guard, and moving Kelvin Banks to the right side. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily going to be, okay, this is where he's going to play. But wherever you do line him up is going to be at least kind of the jumping off point of, hey, okay, this is where we can expect to see him at least work in camp. I would expect throughout camp to see him work at multiple positions. I think that's going to be something that this season is about for Kelvin is cross-training, which he has not done a ton of at Texas. You know, a lot of times players coming out of college, they've played one position because they were the best. You know, you put your best offensive lineman at left tackle, and that's who he was at Texas. So, yeah, there's that. You know, and it's really just a chance to kind of get a first look at a lot of these guys. You know, it's going to be our first chance to see Tyler Shuck wearing black and gold out there throwing the ball. You know, he's going to be next to tryout players because you only have one quarterback as far as I know. We haven't got an official roster yet, so we don't know who the tryout players are going to be. There's usually about a dozen or so. I'm interested to see Devin Neal. I think Devin Neal is a guy that, you know, I've started to put together my way too early roster projection. I usually wait until after rookie minicamp to really put that out. And the position I'm having a really hard time figuring out, well, there's two of them, is running back and defensive line, because, you know, they're two really deep positions player wise, but there's not a lot of proven at the running back position behind Alvin Kamara. And then there is a ton of proven on the defensive line position behind, you know, Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson, Chase Young, and all these other guys. There's got to be, you're going to have to cut guys that you would otherwise have expected to make the roster. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they stagger everything in terms of reps, especially at running back and defensive line. But Devin Neal's a guy that I think people are going to get excited about as camp goes on, because he has a really intriguing skill set. He's really solid. He's just a guy that has good vision, isn't going to blow you away athletically, but seems to always find the hole. You know, it's going to be something that you can't see a ton of at camp because you're not hitting, so you kind of have to guess. But I have a feeling he's going to have some splash plays.
So, Jeff, a question that keeps popping up on our text line. I know we talked a little bit about it the Sunday after the draft had ended, the UDFAs. People always want to figure out, oh, who's going to be the diamond in the rough from the UDFA pool? You know, historically, like you think of Pierre Thomas, but more recently on this team, Juwan Johnson, Carl Granderson, those types of players. Are there any of the UDFAs that you're really keeping an eye on with rookie minicamp right around the corner?
Yeah, you know, I think this is going to be a tough year for UDFAs, and it kind of goes back to I'm putting this way too early roster projection together. And it's, you know, I wouldn't say this is the most talented roster in the NFL, but it's kind of a logjam in the middle of it where you have a lot of draft picks over the last 2 years that you're not going to want to cut, you know? And so, Like a Jalen Ford, for example, you know, are you going to cut Jalen Ford? You know, maybe, because he's drafted under an old regime. It's a whole new defense. Does he fit? You know, so it's going to be tough to gauge those elements as we go forward. The guy, the UDFA that I think has probably the best chance to make the roster is the most boring thing to say, but it's going to be James Burnup. It's the punter out of Alabama, 6'6", 236. You know, he only has to beat out one guy, and it's Matt Hayball, a guy who I don't think had – that great of a year. He was fine. You know, he was solid. He did lead the league in punts inside the 20, but, you know, my criticism of that would be there's a big difference between a punt to the 18 and a punt to the 8. And I think there were a lot more punts to the 18 than the 8. And I need that to be reversed to feel good about the punter who doesn't have a cannon leg. So, you know, I think both kicker competitions are going to be interesting. We may see Charlie Smith out there again. Like, we don't have a full roster yet, but I think between Charlie Smith, Blake Groupe, and James Burnup and Matt Hayball, those are going to be two of your more interesting competitions. Beyond that, you know, the running back position, again, Marcus Yarns is going to be interesting. You know, the UDFA out of Delaware. I think there is a spot to be made at the running back position, and it's going to be whoever jumps up and takes it. But, you know, I'm not going to go too far down the rabbit hole on the UDFAs quite yet, because it's just like last year, I felt like there was several spots where you could be like, there's a UDFA who can make it here. There's a UDFA who can make it here. I just think it, from a numbers perspective, it's good. They're going to have a really hard time.
You mentioned James Burnup, Jeff, and you said 6'6", 235. Where else are we going to line this guy up besides punter?
Yeah, I'm just saying if you ever get in a position where your punter has to make a tackle,
we're all right.
I feel like you're in good shape. But yeah, that is not typically, you know, it's going to be funny because Matt Hayball is not a big dude either. Charlie Smith is. So the two guys competing for your specialist spots are going to tower over the guys, over the incumbents in that situation. But no, he's an impressive guy. He had a really impressive career at Alabama. You know, I think his junior year, he had an average 47.3 yards gross punting. This last year, according to Alabama's website, I haven't been able to find this stat officially anywhere, but said he was about 44.7 net, which would have been up in the top five of the NFL if you put that in the NFL. Obviously, the punting game is a little different. You know, return games are better. Coverage units are better. So, love to see how that translates. But no, he's a guy that, I don't, you say it's a punter competition. You typically give the guy coming in from last year a significant advantage. But, you know, we've seen three punters in 3 years. Like, this team is not opposed to changing the guard at that spot. And, you know, they have changed their special teams coordinator. Yes, Darren Rizzi is gone. But the guy in there, Phil Galliano, was right there for the last three punter changes. So he's not going to be a guy that's afraid to go away from an incumbent.
So, Jeff, have you been avoiding any kind of sports talk shows on TV or radio, considering what's happened to your Celtics of late?
Yikes. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me? Why do you have to bring that up?
Just wondering how you're doing right now.
That's tough.
I'm fine. You know, it's hard to be mad when you're looking at a team that's, you know, it's blowing 20-point leads, but you got a 20-point lead. So it's like, you know, I was listening to the Inside the NBA, and they were like, you know, New York is up 2-0, right? So they should be feeling on top of the world. But if they lose game three, suddenly they're the underdog again, right? So, like, I see game three, and this is what they were saying on the show, like, I see game three as a must-win for the Knicks. Because if you give the Celtics a game there, then suddenly it's like, it's almost like they're like Chuck Knoblocking at this point. Like, they can do everything up to the point where they just have to make a layup at the end of the game. I'm only worried because Kristaps Porzingis has some sort of mysterious illness that prevents him from playing more than 4 minutes in a row at any point. And no one seems to have an answer to what's going on. And they obviously played a lot without him last year, but, you know, I'm getting kind of tired of it. So you had to bring this up. I thought I had until Saturday before I had to reckon with this again. But no.
You know, Jeff, you got to tell Jason Tatum that he's, you know, 6'8", 6'9", and he's just got to get into the paint instead of taking three after three after three. There's like that one screenshot of, like, I think Brunson's the only one in the paint.
Yeah.
And he's on the ground and Tatum's loading up for a three. Just like, what are you doing?
It's like they're leaving you open because you are missing every shot.
I do have one more Saints related question. So I'll give you a little reprieve here on the Boston Celtics misery of first two games of the Eastern Conference semifinals.
We've always got tomorrow too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about it as well with Friedel. I'm looking forward to that. Chris Tyree is someone that Mike has brought up, the UDFA from Virginia. It was Rashid Shaheed suffering the injury last year that ended his season. Like, do you really want him to be returning kicks again, you know, long-term, or do you want him more as a wide receiver two for this team? I want to get your thoughts on Tyree because I feel like the return specialist could be another battle to keep an eye on too.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that I don't know a ton about. I don't watch a ton of Virginia football, and that's kind of what these rookie camps are for me, is like to get a really good look at some of these guys for the first time. But no, you know, it's interesting because it's like, okay, but what about the guy from last year that was the darling in Mason Tipton? Do you move on from Mason Tipton? I still think Rashid Shaheed has to be a key returner in one part of the game, whether it's kickoffs or whether it's punts. And I think he's still going to be your punt returner. Now, kickoffs, I think the strategy is going to change dramatically. And so, yeah, a guy like Chris Tyree, I think, you know, the adjustment that people have to make is – making the practice squad is making the team when it comes to a UDFA. Now, a draft pick making the practice squad, that is a miss. It means you did not evaluate the way you needed to and you missed on that draft pick and you're keeping him around. But at the end of the day, you drafted a guy, you expect to keep him on the roster. If you bring in a UDFA and he ends up being a practice squad guy who you can use as one of your elevations, sure. And, you know, we'll see. Like, there's going to be a lot of interesting strategies implemented this year, knowing that in the kickoff part of the equation, knowing that they've changed the touchback from the 30 to the 35. So you're going to get a lot more opportunities because I don't think any team in the NFL should willingly concede the 35, knowing what we know about the coverage and the fact that the average return last year was to the 28. So teams should feel comfortable kicking it in play and letting guys return. And so teams should be coming up with more interesting ways to take advantage of that as a return unit. So we'll see. Like last year, I thought the Saints kind of overthought it and they're like throwing Jamal Williams back there. Like, I get it. You want one guy as a blocker, but they're going to kick to that guy. Right. So you don't want a slow guy that they're willing to kick to. You need two fast guys and, you know, the other guy can't block, whatever. But no, I think that's why they were kind of annoyed Taysom Hill was hurt all season, because I thought Taysom Hill would have been perfect back there. So we'll see how they manage it. But no, the UDFAs, you know, and Tyree, whoever you want to put in that, you know, specialists, special teams are going to be how you make that roster. It's almost never going to be, well, this guy looked great as a receiver in camp. It's going to be, oh, he can go out and make a tackle, or he can go out and be an impact returner. Like, that's how you make the roster as a UDFA.
Jeff, thanks for the time. I know you got the latest on WWL.com on Cam Jordan Day, breaking that all down as you were on the scene. What else can Hudettes find at the website right now, WWL.com, involving the Saints?
Yeah, so I wrote up Drew Brees. He was on WWL yesterday. I got some of the top quotes on there. Also got some breakdowns from Scott Shanley, who we talked to recently, on some of the draft picks. And, just general good stuff on the website. So definitely go check that out.
Thanks for the time, man. Be talking to you tomorrow. Hopefully we don't get a rain out on this LSU baseball game.
Well, that's just more time to complain about the Celtics. So, come on.
Thank you, man. Have a good night.
Someone said, Tatum's 6'8", 6'9", and he's got, I think they exaggerated, right? 5'3", Jalen Brunson on him, and he's taking step-back threes.
Well, you know what's amazing, too? Brunson was having such a miserable game.
Yeah, no, he was terrible. I texted this to Mike last night. It's just if you would have told me that Jalen Brunson didn't break the 20-point barrier and they came back from down 20 points in the second half to steal game two,
no way,
and go
right
up 2-0, no shot. I have no idea. So, yeah, we'll get our ribbon off on Jeff a little bit tomorrow as well, because it's definitely been a crazy series to follow.
Taking a break. Hudettes want to hear from you on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Sound off 504-260-1870. We'll be right back with more after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, shout out to Texter 7662. Not only did we get a new Pope today, it's also Cam Jordan Day, but also the Texter telling us it is also VE Day, known as Victory in Europe Day.
Nice.
Ended, the reign of Nazi Germany over there. So that's a pretty significant date in history, it seems, right here.
Yeah, and now we have our little kind of local tie-in with Cam Jordan. Yeah, May 8th is pretty fun, man.
Speaking of today's action in the NBA, we just got one game on tap tonight. That's the Golden State Warriors at the Minnesota T-Wolves. And you probably guessed, Charlie, the T-Wolves heavy favorites, 10.5 points. Woo. The no Steph Curry factor looming large here.
So this is what's weird about this to me, Steve. 10.5 point favorites after how they played in game one. I mean, look, I know no Curry.
Right.
And this is a critical game for Minnesota to even up the series without Curry, and especially being down 1-0 after that opener. But the over-under is at 201.5, too, Steve. Are they expecting Golden State to score 80 points in this game without Curry? I get it. He's a superstar, and he's been doing a carry job at times throughout the playoffs. But Buddy Hield's been pretty hot recently.
I was going to go there, too, right?
Jimmy Butler can still pop off for a 30-point game on any given night in the postseason. I don't know, man. It feels like one of those trap lines, you know what I mean? I'm probably going to stay away from it, but 10.5 point favorites for Minnesota tonight. And like I mentioned the other night, Steve, when we were talking about the playoff picture and everything that's happened in the first, couple days of the second round, which has been so entertaining to follow. All the 20-point comebacks, all the massive blown leads late, the road teams kind of reigning supreme throughout, except for last night with OKC and Denver game two. It's been fascinating to follow, but at the same time, this feels like a Minnesota game, doesn't it? There's no way that they keep shooting as bad as they have.
Well, especially we kept talking about the superstar of Steph Curry not being present. If Mini can't pull this one off on their home court, that's big trouble. Big time trouble for sure. You mentioned last night, we kind of talked about it heading off the air, the OKC game, and it just wasn't even close for Denver at all. Kept hoping that, maybe see something to make it a closer game, but it was definitely, I know you mentioned it too, kind of tuned out and went over to the NHL playoff action instead.
Yeah, watched my Dallas Stars pick up a big win in game one against Winnipeg. But yeah, Steve, you were kind of mentioning with Denver, it was out of hand way early.
43-point loss.
The first quarter was basically over, and by halftime when they put up 87 points in the first half, it was, you could turn that off. At the same time, it feels like OKC is still heavy favorites in that series. If Denver can go back to, their home court and protect home court, win game three, maybe things will fluctuate a little bit because that puts a ton of pressure on that game four in Denver, but they have to be able to pick up game three. And I'm just not certain I feel that they can do that. OKC feels like it's still the team to beat in the Western Conference, but I feel like the only team that can really hang with them if Denver can't do it on the opposite side of the bracket is maybe Minnesota. I don't think Golden State would give OKC a long conference finals, in my opinion. Minnesota has a better chance of doing that. However, they got to figure it out, Steve. I mean, I got to pull up the numbers real quick about what they've shot from three in the last two playoff games combined, but it's been terrible. Here it is. Minnesota is 12 of 76 on three-pointers in their last two games, dating back to the finale against the Lakers and then game one against Golden State. 15.7% from the field in those two games combined. That's the worst percentage in NBA playoff history over a two-game span, minimum 50 field goals attempted. Minnesota, I mean, they're throwing them up. They're just not falling. And so that's why I think that they're probably going to take this game. There's no way that they just, the lid stays on the basket, right?
You would think not, but we'll see how things shake out. This, you know, the playoffs are a wacky time.
Yes.
And I figured last night going into the game that OKC was going to rebound in a big way. And you had eight of their players scoring in the double digits. You're not going to compete with that.
Exactly. And Anthony Edwards in game one against Golden State couldn't throw it in the ocean. The only shots that he was making was when he drove into the paint. Sounds a little bit similar to someone from Boston as well that just continues to take jump shots when he's got a size advantage over his, you know, opposition. I don't get it, Steve. It, like, the modern-day NBA, I understand analytics tells you to shoot threes, but when they're not falling, figure out something else to do instead of just banging your head against the wall.
Heading to break here on WWL Sports Talk. Be back with even more, so stay tuned right after this on WWL. Welcome back here on Sports Talk, reminding you all you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. Listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. You got to download the Odyssey app and follow Bobby Hebert. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to this entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy for you to listen when you want and how you want. That goes for this show or any of the shows on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Taking a break for the top of the hour news. When we get back, talk a lot of LSU baseball as they get ready for Arkansas. Hear from Coach Jay Johnson. Also, Jackson Fuller, Arkansas beat writer for the Times Record, will join us. And praying to those weather gods that we can rain, ray, go away and get these three games in this weekend against the Hogs. Be back with more sports talk right after this.